Today is Wednesday, July 8th. Good afternoon for WRCO News. Sitting in for Todd Coppernall, I'm Tim Thied. The Richland Center Common Council discussed the possibility of amending the ordinances of governing the Park Board last night's meeting. Alderman Chris Jarvis stated that he had met with new Park Board President Catherine Lewandowski and Vice President Pat Elliott and shared a document with the council pertaining to the ordinance. City Attorney Michael Windle stated that it was a good document and touched the things he would have written up. The council then discussed the matter of the budget, who would consider fees. Jarvis said fees would be set by the Park Board. Alderman Frank Hoffman questioned who has control of the upkeep and maintenance cost of the parks. He stated that the Aquatic Center at this time loses $150,000 a year, and the city cannot absorb that loss, and it would have to come out of the Park Board budget. He said the document didn't cover those expenses. Alderperson Rachel Schultz said that she felt the accountability clause in the document answered those questions. Attorney Windle said he would write up an ordinance that would possibly clarify the document and questions that the council has. The council has unanimously approved to amend Appendix A of the council rules, General Government Committee Item A, to add the mayor as a non-voting ex-official member of the General Government Committee. The mayor shall not vote on making motions and not be counted towards the committee's quorum. The City of Richland Center purchased the property at 278 West Court Street from the Fergusons in 2024 and have maintained a lease allowing them to continue occupying and operating the Advanced Pump and Well Solutions building pending redevelopment. The lease was structured as 1 year with one automatic renewal and may be terminated on 60 days' notice. Both terms have been exhausted and a new lease needs to be executed. With no redevelopment planned for the site at this time, a new lease was recommended. The proposed 2026 lease renewal with Advanced Pump and Well Solutions Incorporated increases monthly rent from $1,000 to $1,250 or $15,000 annually, which is consistent with the $250 escalation provided for the original lease. The motion was approved unanimously. The council also approved a conditional use permit to Ryan and Peg Plumer for construction of a 256-foot garden shed on Arbor Lane. The next meeting for the Richland Center City Council has been postponed to August 18th, so members can attend Richland County's National Night Out on Tuesday, August 4th at the Richland County Fairgrounds. The Richland County Public Works Standing Committee and Campus Reconfiguration Committee convened on Wednesday, July 1st in person and virtually in the county boardroom of the Richland County Courthouse. During the meeting, vision for campus property related to housing was discussed. County Administrator Tricia Clements introduced this item for supervisor ideas for the campus property. Supervisors took turns sharing their visions for the campus development. Ashley Oliphant and Jason Glassbrenner from the City of Richland Center spoke on redevelopment and the city's HUD grant. A representative from NHS also spoke. Access to the state highway from Highway 14 High Drive was discussed, as was the affordability of new housing. Clements noted a city-county agreement may be necessary going forward. Project cost was discussed at length. Motion was made and seconded that the Public Works and Campus Reconfiguration Committee send to the county board for consideration, and that the campus property be used for school, housing, and future development. Amendment passed on voice vote with none opposed. Original motion passed by voice vote with none opposed. Administrator is directed to work with the city to create an MOU for development. Projected demolition project outlook was discussed. Contracts for demolition were finalized. Asbestos removal will begin first. No official interest in the Copper Top Theater. The building is highly damaged. Motion was made and seconded to add the Copper Top Theater to the list of buildings to be demolished. Motion carried on voice vote with two opposed. Also discussed was the Blue River Bridge update. Bridge on Highway 60 is in need of repair. Wisconsin DOT plans to replace the bridge in 2032. No action was taken. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office reports on yesterday morning that the Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a juvenile that fell out of a moving vehicle on private property. The Spring Green Fire Department, Spring Green EMS, and Iowa County's deputy and University of Wisconsin MedFlight responded to the scene. The juvenile was transported to the hospital for further evaluation. In the afternoon, Iowa County deputies responded to the 100 block of East Keene Street in the village of Ridgeway in an attempt to arrest Christopher Matteson, 42, on a valid Sauk County warrant. As a result of the investigation, Matteson was taken into custody on the warrant and transported to Sauk County, where he was turned over to Sauk County custody. In the evening, the Iowa County Communications Center received a traffic complaint in the area of the 1100 block of North Beckett Street in the city of Dodgeville. An Iowa County deputy conducted a traffic stop in that same area. As a result of the investigation, Pedro Juarez Romero, 55, was arrested for operating after revocation. Juarez Romero was transported to the Iowa County Jail and booked on the charge. On Tuesday morning at approximately 5:10, a jail deputy in the Columbia County Jail was conducting a routine well-being check of inmates when they discovered an inmate who was unresponsive while lying in the bed in his cell. The jail deputy immediately recognized the inmate was in medical distress and requested assistance. The jail deputy moved the inmate to the floor and determined that he was not breathing and did not have a pulse. Additional jail deputies responded to assist and Portage EMS was requested. Jail deputies immediately began life-saving efforts by initiating CPR. Portage EMS arrived and continued attempting to resuscitate the inmate, but those efforts were unsuccessful and the inmate was determined to be deceased. The inmate, a 58-year-old male who was being held in the Columbia County Jail for approximately 2 months on felony bond for an OWI 12th offense and a state of Wisconsin Department of Corrections hold. The inmate was housed in a cell with no cellmate, with the inmate being confined to the Columbia County Jail at the time of his death. A Marquette County Sheriff's Office detective was requested to oversee this investigation. The preliminary investigation indicates the inmate suffered a medical event while sleeping in his bed. Columbia County Jail deputies do have body-worn cameras, which were activated during the check of the inmates. The jail deputies are fully cooperating with the investigation. An injury crash closes State Highway 8, Highway 16 near Sparta. On Sunday afternoon, the Monroe County Communications Center received a 911 call reporting a car versus semi crash at State Highway 16 and the I-90 exit 28 off-ramp. The reporter said the car was on fire and a female party had been injured. The driver of the semi removed the female from the car after it caught fire. Emergency personnel arrived on the scene and began rendering aid and extinguished the fully engulfed car fire. State Highway 16 and I-90 off-ramp for exit 28 were closed in both directions for approximately 3 hours to facilitate the crash investigation and cleanup. The driver of the car was transported to a local La Crosse hospital with serious injuries. Both vehicles sustained extensive damage. Based on the initial investigation, it appears that the car had stopped at the stop sign on the off-ramp. The semi was westbound on State Highway 16, crossing the overpass. The car pulled out in front of the semi, causing the semi driver to attempt to avoid a collision. The car continued forward and struck the side of the semi-trailer. The semi-trailer drove partially over the car and pushed it into the north ditch. The car then started on fire with the driver still inside. The semi-driver's quick action in removing the driver from the vehicle likely saved her life. The name of the drivers involved won't be released at this time. The crash remains under investigation by the Monroe County Sheriff's Office and the Wisconsin State Patrol. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office was assisted on the scene by Monroe County Communications Center, Wisconsin State Patrol, Sparta Police Department, Sparta Area Fire, and Amplify Ambulance. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call challenges a proposed new round of tariffs. Sean Maloney reports.
Call and attorneys general from 21 other states urged the U.S. Trade Representative to abandon plans for new tariffs on the European Union and dozens of other countries. In a comment letter, the coalition argues the tariffs are illegal and would raise costs for American consumers and businesses. The proposed duties follow earlier tariff actions that have faced legal challenges in federal courts. Call says the tariffs would further strain Wisconsin household budgets and hurt the state's economy. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Disability rights in Wisconsin is pleased by Tuesday's state Supreme Court ruling that keeps documents filed when a person is found incompetent to vote confidential. Lisa Hassentab is the group's public policy manager. She said state statute clearly states that guardianship records are confidential and important to people's ability to maintain their privacy and independence. The organization is pleased to see that the majority of justices through the same way. The 5-2 bipartisan decision means documents indicating an individual is not eligible to vote due to health or disability are protected under state law. The Wisconsin Voter Alliance has sued Walworth County in 2022 for copies of guardianship records filed with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to support claims that ineligible voters cast ballots in the 2020 presidential election. Sean Libert with ACLU Wisconsin said the decision about election integrity as well as the right to privacy, calling those complementary goals, not competing ones. And federal regulators cite 11 Wisconsin hospitals for price transparency. Hospitals are being called on to improve compliance with healthcare price transparency requirements. Since March, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has issued warning letters or requested corrective action plans from hospitals that regulators say are not fully disclosing pricing information. Federal rules that take effect in 2021 require hospitals to publicly post negotiated insurance rates and other costs for medical services. CMS data shows nearly 50 Wisconsin hospitals have faced similar enforcement actions since the requirements began. The Richland Center Kiwanis is holding a pancake supper tonight from 4:30 to 7 at the Richland Center Community Center. The meal will include all-you-can-eat pancakes, sausage, applesauce, and beverages. Cost of a meal is a Goodwill donation. All proceeds will support the Kiwanis Backpack Program, which provides school supplies to needy families in our community. All who attend will enjoy a delicious meal and will help support a worthy cause. Be sure to bring your family and friends. The Declaration of Independence will be read tonight at 5 o'clock in front of the Muscadet Village Hall, located at 206 North Wisconsin Avenue. The first public reading of the Declaration of Independence took place in Philadelphia on July 8, 1776, when Colonel John Nixon read aloud the famous words to a mixed crowd of supporters and Crown loyalists. The event in Muscadet will recognize the significance of that moment in American history. The event will include special music and presentation of colors by the Muscadet American Legion Post 85. The agenda includes a few surprises, and light refreshments will be served afterwards at about 5:30. In case of inclement weather, the event will be moved to the meeting room in the Village Hall. Bring your phone or camera for capturing video or photos of the historical reenactment. Attendees should arrive at the Village Hall at 4:45. Seating will be limited. For further information, contact Mark Cup at 608-739-2179. Music and community lovers from across the region are invited to Eckhart Park in downtown Viroqua Saturday for the 14th annual Driftless Music Festival, a full day of free live music, local food, craft beverages, a raffle, family activities, and community celebration. Hosted by Fourth Stream, the local arts and live music nonprofit, the festival features an eclectic lineup of regional and national artists spanning Americana, Balkan, bluegrass, jazz, rock, soul, improv, and world music. Music begins at 12:30 and continues through the day into the evening. One of the things that makes the Driftless Music Festival special is its variety, said Christina Dolhausen, Fourth Stream president and festival or co-organizer. Every artist brings something different, making it a day of discovery for music lovers of all ages. And whether you're coming to dance, relax with friends, or hear a band you've never seen before, there's something for everyone. In addition to live music, festival goers can enjoy local food, vendors, craft beverages, raffle, family-friendly activities, and welcoming atmosphere that has made the festival a beloved summer tradition in the Driftless region. Admission is free. Guests are encouraged to bring lawn chairs or blankets and spend the day enjoying live music in the park under the oak trees. For a full schedule, the festival information can be found at driftlessmusicfestival.com. Wisconsin homeowners and renters in several Wisconsin counties, including Sauk and Vernon and the Oneida Nation, with uninsured damage to their primary home, personal property loss, or disaster-related emergency needs due to the April storms and flooding, may now apply for FEMA assistance. If you have homeowners, renters, or flood insurance, you should file a claim before applying for FEMA assistance. FEMA cannot duplicate benefits for losses covered by insurance. If your policy does not cover all your disaster expenses, you may be eligible for federal assistance. FEMA may also help if you are displaced, have serious needs, need temporary lodging, require basic home repair costs, lost personal property, or have other uninsured disaster-caused needs. When applying for assistance, you will need to provide your contact information, your social security number, a general list of damage and losses, annual household income, banking information if you choose direct deposit, and if uninsured, the policy number or the agent and or company name. If you need more information or additional help, call the FEMA hotline, or helpline, I should say, at 1-800-621-1362. That's 1-800-621-3362.